Now we come to inchoate instruments. Inchoate will be by and large always or necessarily a stamped instrument. Somebody who is preparing the bill of exchange or a promissory note, he signs it, but he has not filled in all the details. And then he hands it over to somebody else and says, Bhaiya, tum bhar do isko. So, where one person signs and delivers to another a paper stamped, either wholly blank or having written something, incomplete instructions, he thereby gives prima facie authority to the holder to fill the instrument. Do, tumko jo likhna hai likh lo, bhaiya tum bhar do isme, amount jo chahiye wo likh lo. So, you are giving instructions to the holder, take this instrument and fill it. So, at the time of giving that instrument, it is incomplete or maybe totally blank. He has only signed, not filled in anything at all. This is known as an inchoate instrument. An inchoate instrument is not a valid negotiable instrument because the details are not available. In a negotiable instrument, it has to be in writing. Money should be specific, the person should be specific, and the conditions should not be there. Unconditional order in writing. But in the case of inchoate instrument, there is no amount mentioned or there is no payee mentioned. So, how can it become a negotiable instrument when it is incomplete? But if he hands it over to somebody and that somebody fills it, it becomes a complete document. It is a valid negotiable instrument. So, an inchoate instrument by itself is not negotiable. It is not a valid negotiable instrument. But once it is handed over to a holder and that person fills in all the details, it becomes a valid instrument. The only care that person has to take is that the amount he mentions on the instrument should tally with the stamp duty paid on this instrument. That amount should not exceed the stamp value. That care he has to take. So, where one person signs and delivers to another a paper stamped, a stamp paper, either wholly blank or having written thereon an incomplete instruction, he thereby gives prima facie authority to the holder thereof to make or complete, as the case may be, upon it a negotiable instrument for any amount specified therein and not exceeding the amount covered by the stamp. This is what I said, it should match the stamp value. Whatever is the stamp duty paid for that bill of exchange, the amount of the instrument should tally with that. So, whatever other details are being filled in by the holder, they will be legitimate, they will be upheld. The maker of the instrument cannot say, "Arey, maine to bola nahi tha iska naam dalne ke liye, aapne kyun dal diya?" He cannot question that. Yadi itna cautious hona tha, to pehle usne bhar dena tha. He should not have given a half filled or blank instrument to the other person. Once he gave the instrument to the other person by signing a blank document, blank instrument, he cannot question the holder's legitimacy for filling in the details. See, the person who has signed will be liable upon that instrument in the capacity in which he signed the same to any holder in due course. So, he cannot say, "No, no, I can't pay. Isme to maine amount hi nahi dala tha. Abhi aapne kuch bhi apne marzi se paise dal diye." No, he cannot say no. He will be liable in the same capacity because he has signed it. Provided that no person other than the holder in due course shall recover from the person delivering the instrument anything in excess of the amount intended to by him to be paid thereunder. So, jo stamp value ke hisab se jo amount hona chahiye, wo amount jab bhar diya hai, the holder in due course will be demanding the money from the maker or the drawer of the instrument or any of those previous endorsers. So, they will be entitled to get the payment. An inchoate instrument becomes a legitimate legal negotiable instrument after the details are filled in, and the holder and the holder in due course can demand payment as per the tenor. Now we come to the maturity of the bill. A promissory note or bill of exchange becomes payable when the due date arrives. They are payable on the due date. If they say it is payable on demand, then any time the money is payable, the person has to only come and say, "Give me paisa, paisa de do, paisa dena padega." It is a demand instrument. Or if there is a due date mentioned, you have to pay on the due date. So a promissory note or bill of exchange is the maturity date is the date on which the payment falls due. Then we have something known as days of grace. Any bill other than the demand bill, every promissory note or bill of exchange which is not expressed to be payable on demand, at sight or on presentment, is at maturity on the third day after the day on which it falls due. So this act, this particular section gives provision of 3 days grace period. Because in the olden days, there was a custom, practice to give extra time to the person making payment. Suddenly I go and stand in front of the drawee and say, law, this bill is for 15 lakhs rupees, mujhe 15 lakh paisa de do. So he needs time to arrange that. I go without any notice. I go without any pre-intimation and tell him, give me 15 lakh de do, ye dekho mere paas bill hai haath mein. To usko samay chahiye paise arrange karne ke liye. So we, in the past, we used to give grace period. Businessmen among themselves, wo 2-3 din ka samay dete the. Now over a period of time, that has become an established practice, and that practice is incorporated in the act, and they say you give 3 days grace period. So any bill other than demand bills, grace period will be there over and above the maturity period. Now how do you calculate the grace period and the due date? When you calculate the due date, while calculating the date at which the promissory note or bill of exchange is made payable, at stated number of months after date or after sight or after a certain event is at maturity, when you say 3 months after date or you say 1 month after date, then how do you do it? How do you calculate? If the bill is dated 5th of October, it will, and 1 month after that, it will be payable on 5th November, and then 3 days after that, so 8th November will be the due date. But suppose it says corresponding date, bill is dated 10th October, 2 months after date, that means 10th November, and then 3 days after that, so 13th December will be the due date. If the bill is dated 31st January, 1 month after date, what is the corresponding date in February? 31st February. Par hai kya February mahine mein 31st? There is no such date. So it is payable then on the last day of that month. So it says that if you have a corresponding date, you take that as the due date. If there is no corresponding date, you take the last day of that month as the due date. So the period stated shall be held to terminate on the day of the month which corresponds with the day on which the instrument is dated or presented for acceptance or sight. So the due date, when you calculate, will be always when it is mentioned so many months after date or after sight. If they write specifically 45 days after date, you calculate exact 45 days. So wahan pe aapko koi dikkat nahi hai. But jahan pe likha hai so many months after date or after sight, then you have to go by the calendar month. And whether it is 31 days or 30 days or 28 days, 29 days, that is not an issue at all. What you have to do is go only by the calendar month and the calendar date. So where the instrument is a bill of exchange made payable as stated so many months after sight and has been accepted for honor with the day on which it was so accepted. So from the date of acceptance, you will calculate 2 months or 3 months, whatever is mentioned in the bill. If the month in which the period would terminate has no corresponding day, the period shall be held to terminate on the last day of that month. As I told you, if the bill is dated 30th January or 31st January and it is for 1 month after that date, the bill will become due on 28th February if it's not a leap year. There is no 30th or 31st in the month of February. So it becomes due on 28th February. Fir 3 din grace period, so it becomes payable on 3rd of March. See, these are a few illustrations. As I said, if the bill is dated 29 January 2013, in February there is no 29th date, so it becomes due on 28th February and 3 days after that, so 3rd March 2013 is the due date. So Suppose the bill is dated 30th August and 3 months after date. So it becomes due on 30th November and 3 days after that, so 3rd December 2013 is the due date. Suppose the same bill is dated 31st August, not 30th August but 31st August and 3 months after date. So what will be the due date? There is no 31st November, it will be 30th November and then 3 days after that, so it is 3rd December. So in second and third, both the cases the due date remains the same. In the first case bill is dated 30th August, in the second it is 31st August, phir bhi dono cases mein due date is 3rd December because the month of November has only 30 days. Now we saw what is a promissory note, what is a bill of exchange, what is a check, what is a negotiable instrument, how it is negotiated, who are the other parties, drawer, drawee, acceptor, drawee in case of need, acceptor for honor, ye sab dekha humne. But now we come to the basic question, who can make the promissory note, who can make the bill of exchange, who is entitled to create these instruments? The person who signs it is the maker of the instrument, but who is he, is he really capable of doing it? So this section 26 talks about the capacity to make promissory notes. It says that every person capable of contracting according to the law to which he is subject may bind himself and be bound by the making, drawing, acceptance, endorsement, delivery and negotiation of a promissory note, bill of exchange or check. So any person who can enter into a contract as per the Contract Act, Indian Contract Act, if you have the capacity to enter into a contract, you can definitely make a promissory note. You have that capacity also. Now who cannot contract? So the Contract Act talks about those who cannot enter into a contract. A person who cannot enter into a contract is a minor, first category, minor up to the age of 18, or if he is gotten guardian appointed by the court, then up to the age of 21. They cannot enter into a contract. So they cannot create a promissory note or a bill of exchange. They cannot be the makers. Minor cannot originate a promissory note or a bill of exchange. And suppose you know that minor is say only 16 years or 17 years old. He knows, he understands everything. He understands the consequences, the implications of writing a promissory note. Maan lo usne bana diya promissory note. I promise to pay Mr. Mehta a sum of rupees 45,000 on or before 3rd December. All the definition, the conditions of a promissory note are fulfilled. Unconditional order in undertaking in writing, promising to pay, everything. Money is certain, person is certain. But the only problem is that the maker himself is not a person who can enter into a contract. He is a minor. But ye minor ye nahi bol sakta ki theek hai maine abhi bana diya na, I am a minor, theek hai jab main 18 saal ka ho jaunga, major ho jaunga, to I will confirm this action. So let this document remain. No, a minor cannot confirm his action which he did during the minority act, stage of minority. Jab wo minor tha usne jo kuch kiya wo baad mein usko validate nahi kar sakta hai. So the negotiable instrument will not become valid even after he tries to confirm it on attaining majority. It cannot be a valid negotiable instrument. So a minor may draw, endorse, deliver and negotiate such instruments so as to bind other parties except himself. Nothing is binding on him. He cannot bind himself by these acts. He can make other people do the work for him, but he cannot do it. Nothing herein contained shall be deemed to empower a corporation to make, endorse or accept such an instrument except in the cases in which under the law in force they are so empowered. A company, corporation means a company, a corporate entity cannot give rise to a negotiable instrument unless it is mentioned in their memorandum of association. If the memorandum of association says yes, this company can issue checks, can issue bills of exchange, can give promissory notes, then only they can do it. If they do it, although there is no provision in their memorandum of association, that bill or promissory note will be treated as ultra vires, it will have no legal sanctity. It has no legal sanctity, it has no validity, and no one can act upon it. You can't enforce or file a suit on that instrument. So the company should have memorandum of association stating very clearly, yes, this company can issue checks up to rupees. Some companies may say that you can issue checks only up to rupees 10 lakhs or maybe up to rupees 10 crores. So up to that it is valid, beyond that it is not valid. It will become ultra vires. Every person capable of binding himself or of being bound as mentioned in section 26 may so bind himself or be bound by a duly authorized agent acting in his name. The person is capable of entering into a contract, he can even appoint an agent to do the work on his behalf. He is doing it, well and good. He can also ask someone else to do on his behalf. Then that someone else, whatever he does, it will be binding on this original principle. A general authority to transact business and to receive and discharge debts does not confer upon the agent power to accept or endorse bills. The agent is given authority only to issue promissory note or bill of exchange. If it is a general power of attorney, that agent cannot endorse or negotiate the bills. He does not have the authority to accept or endorse bills of exchange. And if he still does that, the agent, the principal will not be bound by the act of the agent. In all other cases, the work of the agent is binding on the principal. But in this particular case, where he is going beyond the authority of the agency, the work of the agent will not bind the principal. An authority to draw bills of exchange does not of itself impart an authority to endorse. So whatever authority is given to the agent to issue bills, to draw bills, make promissory notes, it's not implied that he can do anything beyond this. He cannot endorse, he cannot negotiate. So the role of the agent is restricted to that extent. Now we are going to see the liability cast upon the maker of the bill and the acceptor of the bill. The acceptor is also the drawee, or he may be a different person. Now what is the liability on these people? Once I issue a promissory note or I issue a bill of exchange on somebody, I become answerable to that somebody. I undertake to pay as per the promissory note. I am say, okay, I will pay to you. That means I have taken up a liability. I have to pay to that person on the due date and I have given it in writing. So obviously that person can take me to task if I don't pay. So there is a liability on the maker, there is a liability on the acceptor because he signs accepted and he agrees to make the payment. So there is a liability on the maker, on the acceptor. In the absence of contract to the contrary, the maker of a promissory note and the acceptor before maturity of a bill of exchange are bound to pay the amount at maturity according to the apparent tenor of the note or acceptance respectively. And the acceptor of a bill of exchange at or after maturity is bound to pay the amount to the holder on demand. In the case of promissory note, the maker himself is bound to make the payment. In the case of a bill of exchange, the acceptor has to make the payment on the due date. If they do not pay, in case of default of such payment, the maker or the acceptor is bound to compensate any party to the note or bill for any loss or damage sustained by him and caused by such default. If I don't pay on the due date, I am the maker or I am the acceptor, I have to pay, I do not pay, I default, then whatever is the loss caused to the other parties, the payee, the holder, holder in due course or other endorsees, whosoever is involved in this, whatever loss they incur, I have to make good that loss. I have to pay compensation, I have to pay the principal, maybe they will claim interest, they will claim damages, expenses, whatever they claim, I am supposed to pay. because I did not pay on the due date as promised. Now I have to make good the loss. No person except the drawee of a bill of exchange or all or some of the several drawees, or a person named therein as drawee in case of need, or an acceptor for honor, can bind himself by the acceptance. So it is only the drawee in case of need, or the acceptor for honor. Only these people are bound to make the payment. Other people are not involved, they don't come into the picture. So they cannot bind themselves for the liability. Where there are several drawees of a bill of exchange and they are not partners, it is not a partnership firm, but there are many drawees, say three drawees are there, then each one has to accept, but each one will accept only for himself. He will not accept for or on behalf of other people. Here the act of one person is not binding on the others. In the case of a partnership firm, yes, whatever one partner does, it is binding on all the partners. But where they are individuals, it will not bind on them. So where there are several drawees of a bill of exchange who are not partners, each of them can accept the bill for himself. None of them can accept for another without the authority. So if one person has accepted, suppose there are three drawees, A, B, C, A has accepted, then A is not going to bind B and C. B and C have not accepted. That to chhut gaye. Sirf A zimmedar rahega aur sirf A se hum payment mangenge. So A cannot bind B and C. Now we have seen that somebody is endorsing in favor of somebody else. Now what is his liability? The person who has endorsed. Kya chhut gaya wo? Has he gone scot free? No, there are some liabilities cast on the endorser also. In the absence of a contract to the contrary, whoever endorses and delivers a negotiable instrument before maturity. Previous case we saw the acceptor's liability. Now we are talking about the endorser's liability. So if somebody is endorsing a negotiable instrument before maturity, without in such endorsement expressly excluding or making conditional his own liability, he is bound thereby to every subsequent holder. He has endorsed, please pay to C. C is endorsing, please pay to D. Now, as far as D is concerned, both C and B are liable. Unless B signs, please pay to C, sans recourse, without recourse to me. Then in that case, B is relieved, he is discharged on the liability, only C will be liable to D. But if he is not mentioning sans recourse, he remains liable. In the case of dishonor by the drawee, acceptor or maker to compensate such holder for any loss or damage caused to him by such dishonor, provided due notice of dishonor has been given to or received by such endorser as herein after provided. The endorser has endorsed the bill in favor of somebody else. So now someone else has become the endorsee. Now he has endorsed it, and suppose the bill is dishonored by the drawee or the acceptor or the maker, then the endorser undertakes that, okay, I will pay even if the drawee or maker, acceptor does not pay, I will pay to you. So when he is endorsing, he is indirectly stating that I am also liable, I will pay to you. He has endorsed the bill in favor of D. C has signed and say please pay to D, then C remains liable to D even when the maker or the drawee or the acceptor do not pay. They have defaulted. See, prima facie it is the drawee who has to pay. But when a person endorses to somebody else, he also steps into the shoes of the drawee and he becomes equally liable. Every endorser after dishonor is liable upon an instrument payable on demand. So every endorser, when he is endorsing, enters into the shoes of the drawee and he also undertakes ki I will pay, if other people do not pay, I will pay. So he is available as a recourse. Now when does an endorser get discharged from the liability? He has signed, so he is liable. But there are certain occasions when he is discharged, chhut jata hai. Ye kab hota hai? Where the holder of a negotiable instrument without the consent of the endorser, destroys or impairs the endorser's remedy against a prior party, the endorser is discharged from his liability to the holder to the same extent as if the instrument had been paid at maturity. See, if a subsequent endorser or endorsee removes the endorsement of a previous person, then the one who endorsed in his favor, wo chhut gaya, because he is not taking the permission. Now, A has endorsed in favor of B, B has endorsed to C, C to D. Now, what D does? He removes the signature of B and he says, no, I don't want to take any action against B. Then C becomes liable, but B is no more liable because D says ki B chhut gaya, usko chhod diya. So, what will happen then? C is also going to lose the remedy against B. So, then law provides that C will also be no more liable because D did something which vitiates the right of C. C cannot now take recourse to B. That is why C ko bhi chutka milta hai. He will be discharged from his liability to the holder to the same extent as if the instrument, you know, you are going to treat as though the bill is paid, and that is to that extent, wo chut gaya. He will no more be held liable. Now, see, A is the holder of a bill made payable to the order of B. It contains the following endorsements. First is blank. It is signed. Then second endorsement, Peter Williams. Third endorsement, Wright & Co. Fourth endorsement, John Rosario. Now, this bill A puts in the suit against John Rosario. See, let's see an example. Now, suppose A is the holder of the bill. He is the final endorsee. What he does, now the endorsements in the instrument are, the first endorsement is blank, B, second endorsement Peter Williams, third endorsement is Wright & Co., fourth endorsement John Rosario. Now A, what he does, he files a suit against John Rosario. He removes, strikes out, without John Rosario's consent, endorsement by Peter Williams and Wright & Co. The second and third endorsements he removes. The last endorsement he keeps, now the last one, A is not entitled to recover anything from John Rosario because he did not take the consent of John Rosario for removing the endorsements of the previous two parties. A cannot have recourse to John Rosario. John Rosario chhut gaya. Now we are going to see the delivery of the instrument. We were talking about endorsements. We spoke about the endorser and endorsee's rights and liabilities. Now, endorsement, you make an endorsement in favor of somebody, you keep the instrument with yourself, it doesn't have any sense. You have to hand over the instrument to somebody in whose favor you are making the endorsement. So, this chapter deals with delivery of the instrument. The making, acceptance or endorsement of a promissory note, bill of exchange or check is completed by delivery, actual or constructive. You can make actual delivery, send it by post or go and hand it over in person. Or you give it to the representative of that person, that is constructive delivery. As between parties standing in immediate relation, delivery to be effectual must be made by the party making, accepting or endorsing the instrument or by a person authorized by him in that behalf. So, unless delivery is taking place, the endorsement will have no effect. Endorsement or even the making and acceptance become effective only when the instrument is handed over to the payee. A promissory note, bill of exchange or check payable to bearer is negotiable by the delivery thereof. Where it is payable to bearer, you just hand over to somebody, that somebody becomes the bearer and he gets the right title. Now, what is the effect of endorsement? The endorsement of a negotiable instrument followed by delivery. You have made endorsement and now you have handed over the instrument also. Then it transfers to the endorsee the property therein with the right of further negotiation. Property therein means the amount involved. The bill of exchange or the promissory note or a check mentions a particular amount. So, when endorsement is done and it is handed over to the other party, what you are doing is you are transferring the rights, the benefits equal to that amount to the other party. So, the property therein, that means the amount involved therein with the right of further negotiation. So, that person can further negotiate, endorse and deliver to somebody else. But the endorsement may by express words restrict or exclude such right or may merely constitute the endorsee and agent to endorse the instrument. So this depends on the type of endorsement. Here, if I say I endorse sans recourse, so it doesn't come back to me, I will be no more liable. I endorse in blank, I say endorse to C or order, endorse to C or bearer, whatever this constitutes the endorsee and agent to endorse the instrument or to receive its contents for the endorser or for some other specified person. So you can endorse to any specific person, you can endorse it in blank, you can endorse it to the agent of a specific person only for the purpose of receiving the money. That agent cannot then further endorse to anyone else. Now, who can negotiate? Negotiate means endorsing and transferring the rights. Who can do it? Any maker, drawer, payee, endorsee, or all of several joint makers, drawers, payee of a negotiable instrument may, if the negotiability of such instrument has not been restricted or excluded as mentioned in section 50, they can endorse and negotiate. If the instrument says very clearly not negotiable, then it cannot be negotiated further. Otherwise, any party involved, the maker, the drawee, the acceptor, the endorsers, endorsees, they can all endorse further and deliver, they can negotiate. Nothing in this section enables a maker or drawer to endorse or negotiate an instrument unless he is the holder thereof. So, a person can negotiate only if he is having a title to it and he is in possession of the instrument. So, he has to be a holder. Holder means not just physical possession, a person who is entitled to get the payment in his own right. He has not received it as a chori ka maal. He has not received it found lying on the street. He has got it in the right manner as per the normal business transaction and he is entitled to get the payment. So, he can negotiate unless he is a holder thereof or enables a payee or endorsee to endorse or negotiate the instrument unless he is the holder thereof. So, these people, they can negotiate because they are the holders. They are having rightful possession. See, a bill is drawn payable to A or order. A endorses it to B. The endorsement not containing the words or order or any equivalent words, B may negotiate the instrument. It is not restricting the payment to only B. So, B can negotiate it to anyone else. Now, we are talking about presentment for acceptance. We are going to talk about the instrument being presented for payment or for acceptance. A bill of exchange payable after sight must, if no time or place is specified therein for presentment, be presented to the drawee for acceptance. You have prepared a bill of exchange, you have drawn it on a person, you have to give it to him and say please accept. So, this giving it to him, this is presentment. So, when you are handing over the instrument to somebody for doing something, you are saying you are presenting it either for payment or for acceptance. Here first we are talking about the acceptance. So, it has to be given to the drawee for acceptance if he can, after reasonable search, be found by a person entitled to demand acceptance within a reasonable time after it is drawn and in the business hours on a business day. So, you will be giving it to the drawee for acceptance on a working day during the working hours, during business hours. And if you are not able to find him, then you cannot present it. It is deemed as not accepted. If you are able to find him, go locate him and present it to him and get the acceptance done. If the drawee cannot, after reasonable search, be found, the bill is dishonored. It is dishonored due to non-acceptance. If the bill is directed to the drawee at a particular place, it must be presented at that place. If you are mentioning Mr. Sethi of Connaught Place, New Delhi, has to accept this bill, he is the drawee, then you have to give it to Mr. Sethi at Connaught Place, New Delhi. So, it has to be given at that place. And if at the due date for presentment he cannot, after reasonable search, be found, the bill is dishonored. So, when you mention a specific place, it has to be accepted in that place. Likewise, if you mention a particular time, it has to be accepted at that time. Where authorized by agreement or usage, a presentment through the post office by means of registered letter is sufficient. You need not go specially to Delhi to ask him to accept the bill. You can send it by post and it is treated as sent for, presented for acceptance. So where a bill is stated that it has to be accepted at a particular place, you have to send it to that place. You may go physically or you may send it through somebody or you can send it by post. It is treated as it is presented for acceptance. Even if you send it by post, registered letter, it is sufficient. Now we are talking about presentment for payment. When you want payment of an instrument, you have to hand over that instrument to the other person. So unless you go and show that instrument to somebody and give me payment according to this, they are not going to pay. Simply telling verbally, I have an instrument at home, I have a check at home, and that check is drawn in my favor, I have to get 10,000 rupees, please give me money. No bank will give you the money. They will say, check leke aao, baad mein paise milega. So you have to present the instrument for payment. Promissory notes, bill of exchange and checks must be presented for payment to the maker, acceptor or drawee respectively by or on behalf of the holder. In default of such presentment, the other parties are not liable to such holder. If you are not going to present the instrument, they will not pay and they will be discharged from the liability. Unke upar koi zimmedari nahi rahegi. Aap instrument leke aao, tabhi paisa milega. If you are not bringing the instrument, if you are not presenting the instrument, no payment will be made. Where authorized by agreement or usage, a presentment through the post office by means of a registered letter is sufficient. If they have agreed mutually among themselves, send it by post, fir main paisa bhej dunga, then it is agreed. Okay, send by post. It is allowed. Where a promissory note is payable on demand and is not payable at a specified place, no presentment is necessary in order to charge the maker thereof. If the promissory note is payable on demand and no specific place is mentioned, then there is no need to present it. Otherwise, you have to present it at the place mentioned and to the person mentioned. Now, when do you do away with presentment? No need to submit the instrument. If the maker, drawee or acceptor intentionally prevents the presentment of the instrument will not be necessary. Zabardasti wo bolta, are instrument nahi dena, mat lana. Then you need not present it. If the instrument being payable at his place of business, he closes the business. Now the instrument is supposed to be paid at the place of business. A check is supposed to be paid by the bank where it is functioning. Bank band ho gaya. So there is no question of presenting the check for payment. So if the instrument being payable at his place of business, he closes the place of on the business day during the business hours. There is no question of presenting. If the instrument being payable at some other specified place, neither he nor any person authorized to pay it attends at such place during the usual business hours, or if the instrument not being payable at any specified place, he cannot after due search be found. The instrument says this is to be paid at Kolkata. You go and present it at Kolkata, but that fellow is not there. He has run away from there, or the office is closed during the business hours. You will not be presenting the instrument, but you can demand money. But the person who is supposed to pay, the drawee, he is not traceable. He has vanished. Even then, there is no question of presentment. Presentment hai, hamare paas instrument, hum dikhayenge kisko? Kisse paise mangenge? So there is no question of presentment for payment under these circumstances. Presentment is not necessary as against any party sought to be charged therewith, if he has engaged to pay, notwithstanding the non-presentment. That person agrees, are tum instrument mat lao, to bhi haan, mujhe maalum hai, aapko to 10 lakh dena hai, main de dunga. Whether you bring the bill or not, I am going to pay. Mujhe maalum hai, I know this transaction. So he agrees for non-presentment. Then there is no need to present. As against any party, if after maturity, with knowledge that the instrument has not been presented, see the bill is matured, and the person who has to pay knows that the bill is matured, to kehta hai ki mat lana bill. Theek hai, it's okay, I know the bill is matured and I'll make the payment. He makes part payment of the amount due on the instrument or promises to pay the amount due therein in whole or in part, or otherwise waives his right to take advantage of any default in presentment. आपने इंस्ट्रूमेंट लाया, उसने आधा पैसा दे दिया और कहता है कि बाकी आधा पैसा मैं बाद में दूंगा. देन यू मे और मे नॉट प्रेजेंट द बिल अगेन फॉर रिमेनिंग बैलेंस अमाउंट एज अगेंस्ट द ड्रॉअर इफ द ड्रॉअर कुड नॉट सफर डैमेज फ्रॉम द वॉन्ट ऑफ सच प्रेजेंटमेंट. यू कैन डिमांड पेमेंट फ्रॉम द ड्रॉअर. ड्रॉई से आपने पैसे मांगे, ड्रॉई ने नहीं दिया तो आप ड्रॉअर को मांगोगे. नो ड्रॉअर you need not present the bill to him because he is the one who has created that bill, so he knows about it. So aapne usko bill dikhaya nahi dikhaya to bhi usko paisa to dena hai, his responsibility liability is there. So you need not present the bill to him when you are demanding money from the drawer. Now who gets discharged from the liability? The maker, acceptor or endorser respectively of a negotiable instrument is discharged from liability by cancellation to a holder thereof who cancels the acceptor's or endorser's name with intent to discharge him. So a person who is supposed to make the payment, the acceptor or the maker, yadi holder ne unka naam kaat diya to they get discharged. Because he says, I don't want to take money from them. I am going to take money only from my predecessor, that is the previous endorser. So, inka naam kyun chahiye? Wo kaat deta hai. So, they are discharged because he has removed their names. He has cut it, struck it off. By release, wo likhke deta hai ki I have released Mr. B, the acceptor. I am going to hold only A and C responsible for the payment. B ko chhod deta hoon main. So, he is released B. Then B is released, discharged to all the people involved, the holder and maybe other holders in due course subsequently. But he has to give notice to other people. Now the holder, Mr. D, has released B. But he has to inform A also that I have released B. He has to inform C also that I have released B. If he does not inform them, then all of them will get discharged from their liability. They will not be held liable. By payment, this is the best circumstances. Once the payment is made, everybody is discharged from the liability. The only thing, the payment has to be in due course. Payment has to be a right method of making the payment, right mode. To all the parties thereto, if the instrument is payable to bearer or has been endorsed in blank, and such maker, acceptor or endorser makes payment in due course of the amount due thereon. The payment is in due course and the amount is paid to the right person, the person who is entitled to get the amount, then everybody in that contract, they are discharged from the liabilities. A bill of exchange is said to be dishonored by non-acceptance when the drawee or one of the several drawees, not being partners, makes default in acceptance upon being duly required to accept. See, the person who is prima facie responsible for payment in the bill is the drawer, the maker of the bill, and then the drawee or the one who has accepted, the acceptor. Now, drawee is the one who has to make the payment. If the drawee doesn't pay, the drawer will pay. But the drawee has to first accept the liability. So he has to sign, accepted. Yadi wo refuse karta hai ki no, no, I don't want to accept, then ab initio the bill is dishonored. Liability accept karne ke liye tayar nahi to payment ka sawal hi nahi aata hai. So obviously there is no question of payment on the due date. So the drawee has refused to accept. That means the bill is dishonored by non-acceptance. So when the drawee doesn't accept, or there are many drawees, A, B, C, D, four drawees, only one accepts, the other do not accept, that means the bill is dishonored. So when there is a default in acceptance, when it was required to be accepted, yadi jis din acceptance ke liye diya tha, 48 hours ke andar usne acceptance nahi diya, so it is treated as dishonored. Where the drawee is incompetent to contract or the acceptance is qualified, the bill may be treated as dishonored. Where there is qualified acceptance, where conditions are put and those conditions are not acceptable to other people, or the drawee is incompetent to contract, he has become insolvent all of a sudden, diwala ho gaya, doob gaya, business doob gaya uska. So then there is no question of acceptance by such a person, and then it is treated as dishonored, and then his liabilities discharged.